Jim, and there was a long time ago, once Joe came back to town with a packer. Boy, oh boy, that was something. And then he didn't have a packer, just like that. And I met him staggering down Fourth with a breath. He got a nickel, he hollers, and him and the big money now 6 months before. You see, that's the way it goes. In again, out again, Finnegan. You got a nickel, he hollers? Damned if I know, I said. Shake me, and if you hear anything, we'll split. Found a quarter, and we split. And my girl wants to go to a show, he says. And I went with him, and I slept until a guy came along with a broom. And that was another blank, that's all. I've got a lot of blanks. I draw a lot of blanks. You got to have. My mind doesn't register now. Have I been knocked over? No, I says, you're all right, Butch. I saw a bridge ahead, and I thought there would be a road. I know the porter at the Union Station, Butch says. He would help us. I know where you can get cheap gin. We could get us some, 5 cents a pint, lay you in lavender for a week. And Mabel Martino, the Czech girl, is half-baked, short and plump, and keeps herself fried. It wouldn't help, wouldn't it, to have a little gin? No, I said, you're all right. Oh, we're fit as a fiddle, he shouted and began to sing. The bellboy was drunk, he said, and started to lean where the old courthouse was, and it was gone. The bells are gone now. I better hit the hay, honey. Come down close. This old carcass better get someplace and take this old carcass home. We'll be home, I said, and I drove across the bridge and I turned to the left where the road went straight down in the brush by the river. It was a dirt road. I eased the car down the frozen ruts. I stopped and turned off the lights. Butch said, don't do that. Don't make it dark. And I turned them on again. Once he said we were coming into Oshkosh between games, and there I saw two ball players at the bar. One was a guy named Pinky. It was mahogany beams and pretty swanky bar. And Pinky said, hello, boy, I'm in the big money. I'm staying at the Fond du Lac over there. And there was O'Leary, and he was in the big money, too. And we had some drinks. We had gin rickeys, and Pinky had pockets full of money. His old man just kicked off. Say, he said, this must be the road to my mother's. My mother's goofy now. I used to go see the old girl. It seemed to cheer her up, to see her best effort, this son of Eden. Does it cheer you up? Yes, it does, I said. I began to go on slow. Sometimes there are old shacks along the river. Gee, he said, when I remember when I was young, I thought this old world couldn't live without me. Honest, I thought men couldn't live without me. I worked up until I was head of the route. I had to be in the alley back of the news at 4 o'clock in the morning. I thought I was doing a swell job. I didn't think they could get the paper out without me. Honest, I thought I was a public servant. I was a goof. Now a woman got to give me food and feed me. Charlie had 3 fingers from New York, come from Miami by freight. We flipped. Charlie and I had to sleep together, and Red started telling about his kids, and he was a steel worker. Saved man, worked with a boyfriend, didn't have to push the bell button off the 54th floor of the Empire State. Shouted, I'm going down. I tried to grab his leg, and all I could do then was ring bells. I had a pretty big funeral. He had a pretty big funeral, all the gang. I felt terrible. I worked with a different fellow, worked in factories. In October, I met Charlie again. He was a sight, didn't care about anything but Baby Ruth candy bars. You remember my brother? Yes, I said. And Bill was used to it. When he was a punk, he climbed the company poles to fix wires in every kind of a gale so the hairs on his belly would freeze from the sweat of his armpits. And I remember I met Bill when I heard he was born. I pulled up my diary and to give him howdy and welcome to this mortal coil. And he was growing about 1 foot out of the linoleum in the kitchen. And I was a little bit bigger than him. And we had another boon companion named Sad Eye Morton. And he was a bad boy. We were not good boys, but he was a bad boy. Where are you going? I'll be back, I said. I got out easy and tried to prop him up. I tried to run to the river and get a wet cloth for his terrible wound. Butch said he was the greatest tipper over of outhouses and feeler under women's skirts, and now he's a bank teller. Just think of it. Very respectable. Goes to show. Maybe he was that fat little squealing pig that got out of my hands. I said, we're almost there. Where, he said. I drove into a clearing where a car had been. I feel like my old man's feet that time, Butch said. How, I said. Well, I was wandering around and the old man was sick, and I happened to see his dog sticking out of the bottom of the bed, so I felt them, and they were stone cold. The old man's feet were like stones. I told my old lady that, and she let out a yell, and it turned out he was dead. I said, you'll have to help me. We're going to get out now. I'll help you, he said. I'll do anything you say. All right, I said. I opened the other door. You'll have to put your good arm around me. Why, that's easy, he said. That's a pleasure. Why, that's cooperation. I left the lights on and they pierced the bare winter trees. It looked like the beard of a man. When I got him on the cot in his shack, his whole side was a big mouth opening and shutting, with his shirt and coat caked. And I ran down, took off my undershirt and broke the thin ice and dipped it in the water and ran back, putting it under my armpits to warm it. I hated to put it on, it's so cold. I put the cloth in and I didn't know how that mouth would ever be closed. I went to get some wood because it was cold and I ran in the brush. Butch was lying still. He was breathing. It was his being so quiet made me know. Once he said, "You better drive on, honey, and leave me here." I found an old stew pot and boiled some water. It seemed like it had been night for a long time. I thought I should have taken him to a doctor before. I must have been insane. I thought as soon as it's light, I will do it. "We did everything okay," Butch said. "Something else would have happened," I said. It was funny. "Take it on the natural," Gans told us. "Yes, that's what we did. Well, just before that little pig came in, I figured it all wrong. Gans said the pig slipped out of my hands all right, and he turned, and it was him shot Hoink." I didn't say anything. I took his hand. I saw him, and I shot him. I never liked to look at him from behind. "All right," I said. "Neither did I." And he kind of twisted around, spinning on the floor, and he saw me and raised his automatic and shot the whole wad. Gans could shoot straight, but I guess I got him bad. "All right," I said, "try and sleep." "Sleep," he said. "I've been sleeping all my life. My God, do we belong to the human race or don't we?" "Some people don't think so," I said. "Well, to hell with them. I feel so tired." "Sleep," I said. I'd found a bottle of whiskey in the car and I put some in the hot water and made him drink it, and I drank some. His body had been good to me. It seemed like there was everything else bad, and our body is good and sweet to us. He said, "Get in beside me, I'm so cold." I got in with him and put our coats over us, and he held on to me, and if I would move, he would draw me back. It was a narrow cot, and I felt the fever mount in him. Sometimes he talked serious, and I talked to him. "I haven't been good to you." "You've been good to me," I said, "the best. I hated the way my brother looked when he was dead. I went back, and I saw his face down on the slab, and when I turned him over, he looked at me. There was Rafferty traveling and got his expenses paid, $2,000 a month. Butch," I said, "you know it wasn't anything with Gans." "I know," Butch said. "Don't think about it. We're trapped, honey. Don't say anything." "This would happen anyway," he says. "The sooner the better. Eventually, why not now? We couldn't do anything. We didn't do. We put everything into it, like they say. We shot the works. It was all in the cards." "Don't think of anything now," I said, and began rubbing his back. "I haven't done you much," he said. "Oh, you're good," I said. "Haven't I done much?" he said. "Gone with you, followed you?" "Yes," he said. "You're sweet." "What was I doing all my life? What was I doing? What in high heaven and low hell was I up to? St. Peter's Street, Wabasha, St. Paul's, 3rd and 4th and 5th, and remember Hogan's used to be up 2 flights and in the back, and Rifle Joe's and Dodo. What in God's name? 3-story stone buildings, that's Bell's. I recognize that. An old stone building can be sweet. Saloon, tailor shop, restaurant, fruit stand, hotel, rubber worn off, a red globe in the entrance. The alley was a blind. Remember that? Smell of sour whiskey, rotten fruits, horses, catgut. I worked in a hat factory on that second floor when I was a punk. You didn't know me then. I hadn't slept with you then. I was looking for you. The girls used to hang out their towels in the hotel on. We bet on how many towels. That was the first thing I bet on. And the machines made a steady 1-2 stop, 1-2. You got so you liked it. You would jig it. We used to do it. We both fell asleep. He woke me shouting, "What have they done to us? What have they done to us now? Where are the oats, the wheat? I was sure they were planted. Look, Mrs. Hinckley, the wealth of the country, the iron ore, wheat with my body, I thee wed with my worldly goods, I thee endow. What are they doing to you now, honey? They own the town, they own the earth and the sweet marrow of your body. Watch out. They'll shoot at you from all the windows and blow up the town." All my life there, what in hell was I doing? Who said anything? What happened? Going around those streets year in and year out, boy and man, those narrow, dark, God-ridden, haunted, whorish, drunken, grand streets upstairs and down, oh Christ, my God, my heavens, good morning, good evening, with nothing, nothing. Christ, what was it? Who made it? What got us? We came to this bad end. "Be quiet," I said. "We didn't mean any of this. We didn't think of any of this," he screamed. I couldn't make him be quiet now. He talked about other things. Some he had told me, and some of it he hadn't. He thought of all the people he knew ending up with me. And then he died. So then she goes back to Belle and the women's commune now that are living in a warehouse where women lived there. You moved on the top. We lived in one. We moved on the 9th floor on 7th Street. And we built a fire in the middle of the floor to cook and keep warm. And then when the fire burnt down through the floor, it burnt down to the next, and we moved down with the fire. The floors lasted till spring. We got to the ground floor in the spring, at the end of it. So they're all living there, and they send the girl to the Salvation Army home for pregnant, unmarried girls and so on. And then the social worker wants to sterilize her and makes a report that she's retarded. Anybody who's having a baby was retarded to the social worker. And then she returns, then Clara, the prostitute who is one of them, they take her by force to have her shock treatments. So they bring her back, and the ending, approaching the birth of the child, is all of them living together in the bottom floor of this and asking for milk for Clara. And the social workers bring her back, and they're waiting for the birth of the child. So Clara then dies from the shock treatments. That was very common also then to give shock treatments. It's also becoming popular again. I'll never forget that summer as long as I live. That big old warehouse where we all lived. Floors mostly women, and it was cool too with thick bricks. It was said that it was owned by a widow of the lumber maggots, we call them. And that was before the Depression. When it was rented, she went to Europe every summer, but it had been empty now and been taken over by us. On the second floor, some women had made partitions a few feet high, and some had hung blankets, making a little privacy. Clara had an old mattress there without any springs, and Belle was in the other corner. Sometimes from all the corners would come this singing and these goings on, and Belle was trying on black veils to mourn for Hoink, and she'd be saying, "Yes, sir," when Hoink pawned his tools. That was the end of us all. What tools is to a man? And Clara, before the shock treatments, would be fixing her hair. And they brought her back, the social worker, in the afternoon. It was a still hot, bright afternoon, and they brought her in from the Hastings Mental Hospital where she had the electric shock treatments. And I never seen anything like she looked. It wasn't that she was white. She was always very white. It was that look in her eyes and her stillness. She was very, very still, as if she'd gone out of herself, as if the shock, like an explosion, had sent the doves of her spirit flying away, never to return. They were kind of walking her, and the social worker who had refused her milk came in behind her and helped her to lie down. "She's going to be just fine," the social worker said to all of us. "You'll see. These treatments take away anxiety." "Did you bring the special food she was supposed to get?" Amelia asked, going over to stroke Clara's head, where it seemed like you could see bruises. "These things take time," the social worker said. "But death don't wait," Amelia said. And Sarah began to sing, "Shall we gather at the river, the beautiful river?" "She ought to be living in a better place, but this will do till winter," the social worker said. "And I hope you'll be careful not to have any men up here. You can't get any help if there are goings on with men. You have to be mighty careful." I waited for Clara to say something awful to her, but her eyes seemed to be half closed and her little mouth hung open. Belle said, "Oh, shit." Mary said, "What about the cod liver oil? That's the trouble with you people. You're alarmist, hysterical. I have to fill out this paper. Do you own a truck?" Belle hooted. "We ain't got a pot to piss in or the window to throw it out, let alone own a truck. Vulgarities will get you nowhere," she said. "Nothing will get us nowhere fast," Belle spat after as she turned to go and had to walk around the hole burnt in the floor. When she left, I started to read out loud the paper I'd taken at the relief office. The report on me, I got to the part where it said, "The girl is maladjusted, emotionally unstable, and difficult problem. A change of environment would be helpful." Belle hooted, "Miami or Pasadena or the Bahamas. continuous casework should follow up the birth of the child. Educational interest should be encouraged and so on. Amina said, but Clara didn't hear. I knew already she was far away and it was too late. Amina said, we all got to be together in this. We've got to protect each other, not lay down or give in. Oh, maybe it's bad to have a child now, I cried, feeling it leap inside me like a fish. I put my arms around Clara. Don't cry, Clara. We suffer together. We are women. Nothing can hold us apart. I hurt where you hurt. What did they do to your head? Your mouth is bleeding and torn. Clara's eyes opened in awful horror. Her little mouth formed a round O, but nothing came out. I saw in her eyes a terrible thing. I gave out a cry, and it seemed like the women below gave out a cry, and the women above, and Belle screamed, and Clara clung to me, and I just rocked her. She was so tiny, and smelled like scorch or burn, and the terrible deep seemed to open up. I began to talk to her. She didn't even smile or respond. Those pupils leapt out as if to tell me something terrible. They told me, I saw it all, what they had done to her. Clara, remember the German village and those Saturday nights with the Booyah and Bill, I cried. Bill and Butch, those pretty fellows, those wonderful foxes you used to call them, those pretty slick cats you called them, remember? Was there a flicker, a kind of wink, and one eye kind of closed and then opened? I felt I mustn't let her forget. They can't do that to her. I lifted up her cold, thin body and her head rolled, and it looked like her hair was greasy and bruised on the temples. What had they done to her? I held her, I shook her, I caressed her, I shouted at her. Memory's all we got, I shouted. We got to remember. We got to remember everything. It's the glory, Amelia said, the glory. We got to remember to be able to fight. You got to write down the names, make a list. Nobody can be forgotten. They know if we don't remember, we can't point them out. They got their guilt wiped out. The last thing they take is memory. Remember, Amelia says, remember the breasts of your mothers. Oh, Mama, help us now. And Clara, remember your mama's name like you told me. Remember you told me about your mama going from city to city to lousy jobs and getting children and taking them on her back and locking them in rooms while she waited on tables, old laundry. Clara, you've got to remember your mama. I'll help you. Then she smiled and the pupils changed kindly and she said, baby, baby, name the baby Clara. Clara means clear. Oh, Clara, I'll name the baby Clara, clear light, Clara. Yes, yes, I cried, Clara, clear light. Sarah walked me slowly away saying, what shall we do? Our little sister has no breasts. Oh, breasts for all, I cried, and milk for all. Yes, yes, Sarah said. She felt so tall and kind with an odor of strange love coming from her widow's weeds, her straight body like something defending, protecting you. I bent over with a sudden pain and Belle cried, is it starting? Holy Moses, I bet this is going to be some kid. I can't get hold of the ambulance at all. I never heard of you. You got to call them. Anybody got a nickel? Here's my sewing basket. I took the 2 cents there already, I said. Somebody must have a nickel. Is it possible nobody has a nickel? Yes, it's possible. It's certainly possible. Cash is scarce as hen's teeth. I began to count the seconds, putting a finger up for each 60 minutes, making a minute. The next one came at 8 minutes. I felt good. I thought all my life with Butch, it makes you shake to come from your own loneliness and death. It makes you shake all over, but you've got to do it. You got to take the chance to do it. It takes guts to speak out of a lonely room after looking at yourself and after smelling out yourself alone, after hearing emptiness sound off. It makes the sweat stand on you and your blood starts up. For what is one voice alone, or what good is it to cry in a room with the door shut? The pains got worse, so I couldn't walk, and Belle was making coffee, and I sat down and looked at the clock. Now it was 6 minutes. It was exciting. I wanted to see it right away. Maybe it would look like Butch with a lean black head and a sharp face. I could feel my blood like a river inside of me, my breast deep and thigh and womb ready for a new child and strong labor for it, and I liked it. I remember Amelia said once, I tell you when I like it, when there's something to it, when there's something doing, when you can put your teeth in it, when you can take a bite of it and double up your fist for it, that's when I like it, she said. I had my teeth in it now for the first time. I could feel it beat down, bare heavy. I'll go out on the street, Belle said. I'll phone. You got everything ready, kid? I'm ready, I said. Ain't you going to take anything, Belle said? I got nothing to take, I said. This tie of Butch's and 2 cents. She can start to college on that. Say, kid, be careful. What about your income tax? I'll bring you a Dr. Pepper. Well, I'll need a doctor, I said, and she hooted with laughter, and I could hear her with her wonderful heavy step going downstairs. It was then I heard Clara, such a little gasp was her last. I knew it right away. Clara, I cried, don't go. I got her little mirror from her purse where she always looked at herself, and I held it to her mouth, which was now in an awful oath, as if her last breath hurt. The mirror was empty. I was glad to close her eyes over the horror they had given her and shut her silent, screaming mouth. Butch's mother held the bucket while we washed her and brushed her golden hair. She was like a bird is when the life goes out. They seem so tiny, just bones and feathers. And Amelia would say it was half body got without proper food and being cold all winter and somebody after you. Sarah took from her things a white dress like a bride's with lace. We would make it cling, and it had a high neck that covered the bruises. And Sarah was saying something from the Bible, like, set me a seal upon your heart, for love is stronger than death. And many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. We have a little sister, and she has no breasts. What shall we do for our sister in the days when she shall be spoken for? If she be a wall, we will build upon her a palace of silver. And if she be a door, we will enclose her with cedar. She made some signs upon her, and her voice was low. Make haste, she said above her. Be thou like a roe or a young deer upon the mountains of spices. I didn't need to count the pains now. I didn't worry about them or the ambulance. And it wasn't long before it seemed all the people from the demonstration came, kind of anxious and hurrying, into the big room now full of noon sun and all the street girls and the sewing women from the project and Amelia, her face flushed and her hat gone. And when she knelt beside Clara, the other women knelt too, and each one was singing or saying whatever song or prayer she knew. And some sobbed and cried out. And Belle came to me. How is it, kid? I called the ambulance, but they seemed like they never heard of you. I didn't get the requisition or whatever in hell it is. Kid, you should have seen the demonstration. Hundreds outside the courthouse, and the cops threw tear gas out the windows, and some of those ball players caught the bombs and threw them right back into the windows. And kid, you should have seen those bureaucrats like rats pouring out of the building and the street littered with those leaflets saying milk and iron pills for Clara. There was a big line now going out into the hot noon sun, and the cops were lined up across the street, but not one dared to come in. Pretty soon around Clara were gifts like lipstick, old paper flowers, chains, medallions of the Virgin, ribbons, belts, little pictures of saints. It looked like whatever a person had, they put there for Clara. Some combed her hair and patted her pretty dress, said a prayer, and some sang little songs for her. And I couldn't get over it. That they should all care, as Amelia says, a breast for all. The men kind of hung back, but the women gathered, and I tell you, with the sun pouring down as if free for all, I never in my life saw anything like it. I felt I would stand there and just drop my child into their hands. The great mothers, that's what I saw, and will always see as long as I draw breath. I got no words, but it will be like I had told Clara, inside us forever. Remembering always and appearing in everything. Great mirrors like we held the picture of all, the suffering of all. I saw Mama there, the same bend of back, the sagging belly, the look of sorrow and of something else, something fierce, and the reason you have a child, maybe. Amelia held up her hands. Listen, attention, please, she said. We must have a mass for Clara. Yes, a memorial mass for Clara, a mass meeting. Let our voice be heard in the whole city, a trial, a judgment against the city fathers, a trial, yes, an accusation. We accuse, yes, we point a finger. We hold them responsible. There was a kind of roar that went down the stairs and out into the street as if it was passed down from one person to another. When? Tomorrow? The next day? Everyone seemed to agree on everything. Yes, take it down, Sarah. We have a good stencil left. Take all suggestions down, the media said. Everything. All accusations. And people called out, Clara is dead. Who killed Clara? Why didn't she have milk and iron pills? Who didn't care if she died? Who doesn't care that we are hungry? Someone would begin to tell what happened to them in the relief office. But it would go on, everyone crying out something. I helped take down the ideas. Was she a criminal? Was she a danger? Clara never got any wealth. She died a pauper. She never stole lumber or wheat or made poor flour. She never stole anyone's land or took it for high mortgage. She never got rich on the labor of others. She never fattened off a war. She never made ammunition or guns. She never hurt no one. Who killed Clara? Who will kill us? Oh, it was something to hear and see their anger and their power, and Amelia looked like the mother of them all, nodding. Did you get that? Put that down now, Sarah. Sarah, go to the union, and you can use their typewriter. They'll let you. And come back here as soon as you can. Get some paper from them. Tell them about Clara and the girl. They'll give it. They kept coming and coming, a steady line, and Belle made me lie down on the floor. And Amelia said she had delivered 100 babies and would deliver 100 more. And they made a little cave in the corner. And Amelia rubbed me, and Belle was crying and holding my hand. And then I saw Butch's mother, and I touched her, and she knew everything. And I thought of Butch and how he thought it was all a ball game. It ain't a ball game, honey. I was laughing. It is funny, Amelia said, and Butch's mother giggled in a high, strange cry. Oh, it's shit to have a lie on the floor, Belle said. Now breathe, Amelia said. Bear down. Breathe. Bear down. Oh, Butch, I laughed. You didn't know what your mama knew. It's the realest dream. I saw Amelia leaning between my legs, looking at me, saying, breathe, push, wait. It was like being run over by a truck when the pains came, but the women were pressing around now. I could look into their faces, and they seemed to breathe with me, a kind of great wind through their bodies, like wind in a woods. And Amelia said she delivered many babies and would many more, and she kept talking. I didn't hear her, and it was funny. It was like when you hear wind in the woods. I didn't hear it at all, but it was funny to hear her talking. And breathe, she kept saying, wait, push, breathe. He asked me before he died, do we belong to the human race? Some people think we don't, I told him, but we do, yes we do. This is your face, Butch, coming back down the great river, the great dark. I was bucking like a goat and lifting like a mountain, and I heard the mimeograph start, a kind of beat. It's crowning, Amelia cried, I never had heard that. The crown of its head, it's all right, now just turn the head, now easy and strong. Oh, girl, it's coming, easy now. I felt all the river broke in me and poured and gave and opened. Was it my cry or the cry of the women or the cry of a child? Or the last breath of Butch, the first of a child? Covered with a kind of slime and dark, she laid the child on me. A girl, she cried, a girl. And she rubbed the slime in the child with a little gasp and breathed. And before my eyes turned and glowed the dark memory. And Belle was shouting, it's a girl! And the women murmured happily, it's a girl! A woman, Amelia cried, still waving the body with her hands. And Belle was shouting, and for a moment the mimeograph stopped. It's a woman, Belle was shouting, a sister, a daughter, no dingle dangle, no rod of Satan, no sword, no third arm, a girl! A woman! And the meteor cried, ho, oh, a new woman, light, I said, Clara, light. Her name is Clara, the woman said. A kind of woman's humming was all around me. And I saw Mama in them all, the bearing, the suffering, and I saw their seized bodies, their bent bellies hanging, and the ferocity of their guarding. And I felt fierce, and she seemed to burrow to the nipple as I saw Amelia take the knife she had soaking in alcohol in a beer bottle and cut the cord. Then Butch's mother said quite clearly, you keep the cord, and then when the child is lost and wandering, they come back to the grandmothers to find their road. The cord will tell them their road. I saw the women pressing in to see, and I held her up for all to see, and I heard a kind of sound like, ah, of wonder and delight. And Amelia said, give me a newspaper to put the afterbirth in. And Amelia wrapped it and gave it to her. Give it to me, Butch's mother said. She wrapped it up and gave it to her. They say, she said, it has more protein in it than any living thing. Now I could cup her tiny, bright head. I cried out. She had the tiny face of my mother, like in a mirror. Oh, girl, I said down to her, giving her my full breast of milk.
Do you want to sit down again and take some questions? Do you want to sit down or do you want to stand? Up to you.
I didn't realize so much time was going by. Y'all were pretty good at bearing it.
There's time, you know, still for questions if you want. It's up to you. Raise your hand. We'll try to be fair about picking people, not discriminating against according to sex or age or anything else. So
be frank. You don't ever have a chance to ask an old root anything you want to, or have her willing to tell you, or speak, or something. Right, an old man.
And I wonder if you had some reflections on Steinbeck and on the popular conception about what the worker's life was like that is reflected in The Grapes of Wrath and other books like that, that were not ignored, but which became bestsellers and were mass marketed during the same period.
But your question, why they did and mine didn't, or what?
Except that Jonah Parra taught me it, said that you could write anything about the suffering or the condition of workers in America as long as you didn't show any hope of change.